It's good to be back together with you again today as we conclude this week here on God Is. All this week, we've been focused on the word righteousness that we find in multiple texts throughout the Bible, and specifically in Romans 1 and verse 17. Once again, I call your attention to this. Romans 1:17 says, "The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." There is the word righteousness and also the root word righteous. Our discussion about righteousness has been robust. And here is one of the key lessons we're learning again and again. We all require Christ's righteousness for our lives in order that we be saved from our sin and therefore accepted by the living God. As I have said, we require Christ's righteousness be imputed, be credited to us. We ourselves are not righteous. Without faith alone in Christ alone, everything within our relationship to God is not right. It is all wrong. But righteousness is God making you right with God. And this includes an imputation. What is the biblical sense of imputation? It is God giving Christ your sin, and God giving you Christ's righteousness. And to make certain that we understand the contrast between our lives and the life of Christ, we are not righteous, but Christ is righteous, I've taken us into Matthew chapter 4 and 1 John 2 and verse 16. I want to show you from the Bible that Christ lived the perfect righteous life that we can never ever live. And I'm contrasting Christ with us. I'm contrasting Christ's life with our lives. And so first, let's read again about Christ's perfect righteous life. If you have your Bible there with you, please turn with me to the beginning of the New Testament and the Gospel according to Matthew. When you get there, go to chapter 4. I want to read 11 verses from this true story in the life of Christ. This is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But Jesus answered and said, 'It is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to Jesus." This is Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 through 11. I want to point out that here Jesus faced three temptations to sin that all of us face in each of our lives today. When Jesus faced the temptation to sin, each time he resisted the temptation and never once sinned. But when Satan brings three similar temptations to you and I, the reality, the truth is that very often we do give in to the temptation and sin. And what are these three temptations? Well, it would be helpful if I quote from another passage of the Bible's New Testament, and that is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. This is the text that ought to be very familiar to you Christians listening to me in these days. This is 1 John 2 and verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." There you have three, we could call them categories of sin. First, the lust of the flesh. Second, the lust of the eyes. And third, the boastful pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Now let's apply 1 John 2:16 back to Matthew chapter 4. The temptation that Satan gives to Jesus, according to the lust of the flesh, is in verses 2 and 3 of Matthew 4. Let me read those verses again to you. "And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" Flesh. That's quite the temptation. Jesus is the Son of God, and he could have easily commanded the stones to become bread, but he does not. Jesus does not sin. Jesus lived the perfect, righteous life. Whereas Jesus resisted temptation in his perfect, righteous life, the rest of us, however, do not live perfect, righteous lives. And this is why we require Christ's righteousness be given to us. Let's move on to the second category of sin, the lust of the eyes. The temptation that Satan gives to Jesus according to the lust of the eyes is in verses 8 and 9 of Matthew 4. Let me read those verses to you again. This is Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." So now Jesus is on a very high mountain and he's looking at, quote, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan attempts to lure Christ to bow down and worship the devil. But again, Jesus resists. Jesus lives the perfect righteous life. He will never, ever fall down and worship Satan. Whereas Jesus resisted temptation in his perfect righteous life, the rest of us, however, do not live perfect and righteous lives. This is why we require Christ's righteousness to be given to us. And I said a lot more about each of these temptations yesterday. So if you are not with us, then this weekend, go to the WEZ website and listen for free to yesterday's podcast. Just type this into your web browser, 590amtheword.com, and then the WEZE webpage comes up. Click the podcast link at the top of the page, and you'll see another link for God Is There. And please do listen to yesterday's broadcast to set all of this in context. Today, then, we move on to the third category of sin, the boastful pride of life. The temptation that Satan gives to Jesus, according to the boastful pride of life, is in verses 5 and 6 of Matthew 4. Let me read those verses to you again. This is Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Now Jesus is in the holy city, and he's standing on the very pinnacle of the temple, and Satan strikes again. He tempts Jesus to boast of himself as the Son of God. "Throw yourself off this temple, and surely the angels will come and catch you, Jesus, such that you will not even strike a stone with your falling foot." Now, if Jesus does it, that will actually certainly be a way to demonstrate his power. But Jesus will not do it. He will not be the only person to successfully defy gravity after throwing himself from a high place, hurtling toward the ground. Again, Christ refuses. Jesus lives the perfect righteous life. He will never, ever sin by pride. And that, in and of itself, is remarkable. Jesus shows no pride. He constantly demonstrates humility. We, however, do not live a perfect righteous life, and so think about your own life today. When you are confronted with the temptation to sin with your pride, to be boastful, what do you do? Do you give in to your pride? Do you refuse humility? You know, there's a lot of pride in our churches. We want to really be someone. We want to make a name for ourselves. Churches are full of Christian leaders who, rather than following the example of Christ and humbling themselves for service, puff themselves up for power. Sadly, some pastors are power-hungry ministers. They seek their own fame instead of the fame and glory of Christ Jesus. Whereas Jesus resisted temptation in his perfect righteous life, the rest of us, however, do not have perfect righteous lives, and thus we require Christ's righteousness to be given to us. Well, do you see it in Matthew 4? There is quite the contrast there between how Christ lived his life and how we live our lives. Without question, Christ lived the perfect righteous life, and we live imperfect, unrighteous lives. Hence, we require Christ's righteousness for our lives. And God gives us the righteousness of Christ when we put our faith in Christ. Imputation is God giving Christ your sin, and God giving you Christ's righteousness. I want to end today's broadcast in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah is in the Bible's Old Testament, and here we find the same truth that we've discovered all week in the New Testament. God makes his people righteous. Listen now to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. That's Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. And you know what that is? It's a perfect picture of the imputation of Christ's righteousness. I don't know about you, but I have found myself rejoicing along with the people of God of former times because of all that God has done for us. This week on God Is, we've learned a lot. And now I want to encourage you to take some time and reflect on all of this. We have heard the word of God to our minds and hearts. And now what will we do with this? One thing I am certain every one of us who love Christ can do is worship him, praise him, thank him for who he is. Do not just wait for church on Sunday. Dedicate your day to him. Join me right now in prayer. We began the week in prayer, and now let's end the week in prayer. Dear God, we just want to thank you. We're totally lost without you. Thank you that righteousness is you making us right with you. Thank you for the imputation of righteousness. Imputation is you giving Christ our sin, and you giving those who believe in Christ his righteousness. This is not because of anything we have done, but only because of your pure and amazing grace. So we say, thank you. And I pray for those who do not yet have faith in Christ. I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. Do for them what you have done for us, our great God. Amen. Friends, enjoy your weekend, and then please join me again on Monday for God Is.